is over.
Wow, this game is over.
We're doing a complete breakdown of today's game with Falcons Flyover with Thomas Mott.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back on the Falcons Flyover, 7 p.m. Eastern Time inside the Kia Studios here on the East Coast. A reminder, coming up in about 28 minutes, we'll hand you off to the Westwood One radio network and the NFL Sunday, where they'll do a 30-minute recap of all the NFL games today with, of course, highlights and post-game reaction and everything from the other games, not named the Falcons, although they'll probably mention the Falcons. And then, of course, starting off at about 8 p.m., we're going to get you to the pregame of course, the Westwood One National Network coverage of Sunday Night Football, which is going to be a very, very good one. Chicago at Green Bay at Lambeau Field. Again, they're going to go ahead and get to the pregame at 8, kickoff 8:15. You'll hear the game in its entirety here at 92.9. That one has a lot of implications in the NFC wildcard race because currently the Bears are on the outside looking in, and if you want to go absolute best case scenario for the Falcons, it's starting to, technically it happened today. You needed the Cardinals to lose. The Rams might lose, or as the Niners have the football with 2 minutes to go in a tie ball game. And then, of course, the Bears losing as well. Throw the Bucks in on top of that one would all be good news for Atlanta if you really wanted to think about postseason, which we don't want to, but still, at the same time, it was a good overall day in that aspect. So technically, if you're a Falcon fan, you're cheering for the Packers tonight as they host the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky as Nick Foles is still injured. So I'd expect a lot of Packer points, not a lot of Bear points, but that's just me. Falcons today, ton of points. I mean, they had points in bunches. They had turnovers in bunches. It was a great overall day for Atlanta Falcons. 43-6 as they roll a wild card playoff team. I mean, the Raiders are fighting for their playoff lives. They now will be behind the Dolphins. The Dolphins kind of get pushed ahead to that 7th, 6th seed, wherever it is in the AFC. This was a game that mattered for the Raiders. And honestly, I mean, Dylan, John Gruden said this. The best 3-win football team in the National Football League. We cannot take them lightly. And I don't know if the Raiders took the Falcons lightly, but 5 turnovers absolutely doomed them, and the Falcon defense overall had their best game of the year.
Yeah, I think today was a combination of the Falcons playing well, capitalizing off of turnovers. Matt Ryan said, you heard in that sound where they could have done some things better, capitalized a little bit more. But for the most part, I feel like they capitalized off those defensive turnovers. They got pretty well. And then this was a Raider team that just played bad today. They just played bad. Derek Carr couldn't hold onto the ball. Josh Jacobs couldn't hold onto the ball. A lot of defensive penalties, too, that bailed the Falcons out in some spots that kept drives moving. So it was a good mix of the Raiders playing bad, the Falcons playing well, Falcons capitalizing off of Raiders turnovers. And that's what you have to do against good football teams. The Raiders are a good football team, and they had mistakes, and the Falcons capitalized off of it, and that's what you have to do. So hopefully it'll be much of the same against the Saints, but the Falcons have to do the job on their end, too.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. The Raiders are a good football team. They are. The Chiefs' only loss this year was at Oakland, and then Raiders almost got to them a second time when they played a couple of weeks ago. It was that shootout on Sunday Night Football that came down to the wire, and it was Mahomes down 4, buck 30 left, and he went right down the field to win the football game. So it is a good Raider team. I agree with what you said. Maybe, just a long flight over to Atlanta. You see a 3-win football team. You think you might be able to roll them, but as we've said, the talent has been there, and really, the performances have been there. They just haven't been able to close out early on in the year. But going to 4-2 under interim head coach Raheem Morris it's impressive. The problem is we're back-to-back years now where they start off bad and then win late, and it's too little too late. Now, if we go to the whole head coaching decision the Falcons will have to go ahead and do next year, technically when this year is over, getting ready for the 2021 season, you and I both said it would take a monumental effort by Raheem Morris to be able to retain the head coaching job and get the interim tag off of it, basically from away from being in front of his name. 4-2 is impressive. If he wins out and they get to 9 wins, I think they might keep him. I mean, if you can somehow tell me that he beats the Saints, Chargers, Bucks, Chiefs, and Bucks, that's 5 in a row against all playoff teams minus the Chargers, then he probably has to keep the head coaching job. Will he do that? Probably not, which means we're going to be back to where we were 6, 7, even 8 weeks ago, it feels like, expecting a coaching change coming at the end of the year. And the question will be, is it Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy? Is it Arthur Smith, the OC for the Tennessee Titans? Is it somebody else that we don't know about yet? That's something that we decide later on. But I think you can at least feel confident out of all the head coaching vacancies. And another one happened today Saturday, when the Jaguars fired Doug Marrone. There are going to be 4 or 5 openings in the National Football League. The Falcons might be the most intriguing.
Yeah, most definitely. And then also, too, the Lions just let go of Matt Patricia as well in Detroit. So there's going to be a lot of openness, but the Falcons definitely seem to have the best one. I mean, yes, you could have a scenario where you try to blow this team up. And, in fact, I don't even really think you can blow this team up to its entirety because Matt Ryan's not going anywhere because of the contract situation. So this is a team that has the tools to win now. You got Julio Jones under contract. You got Matt Ryan. You've got Calvin Ridley. You've got good pieces on defense. Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones got in his form today. Keanu Neal had a pretty good game today as well. Raheem Morris has really found something by sending Keanu Neal some pressures. And, man, he's hitting now. So this is a team that can make some noise if they're just coached right. Yeah. I mean, we saw a lot of the losses to me early on in the season was because of bad coaching. Yeah, you can say what you want about the onside kick situation, but to me, whether the players know it or not, Dan Quinn has to get all those guys in the huddle and say, hey, guys, you can touch it. You just got to fall on it. Go get the football. It does not matter if it goes 10 yards, whatever. Just go get the football. As a coach, you got to say that. So a lot of this to me was coaching. Dirk Koetter, I feel like, is a part of it too. I would like to see him gone. But this is a team, like you said, this team can make some noise. This team has some life left in it. This team has, hopefully, potentially, it looks like a Super Bowl run left in it. If the coaching is right and the pieces stay healthy, then we can make some noise.
You wish that there was a spot for Raheem Morris if he is, in fact, let go, which, of course, is still a big if. We got five games left. Anything can happen. You wish that there would be a spot for Raheem Morris somewhere on this football team if he's not brought back as the head coach. I don't see that happening because then you kind of have the situation that brews like in Philadelphia right now where you draft a quarterback, you have two quarterbacks, and then the controversy is there. If you were to retain someone like and your interim head coach, Raheem Morris, and then the new head coach struggles, you might start to do the same question of, well, why don't we just go ahead and fire and then promote again? And so I think he would be gone either way, but it would be nice because I think he has really not only gotten the most out of these players, but the players like playing for him, and it's shown, especially in a win like this one today. I want to actually hear from the head coach, Raheem Morris, just talking about how proud he is about the individual efforts in today's game that came together as really the most dominant win of the entire year.
Rico and Kiki did a great job in that back end, just spinning the safeties, moving all around. And you got to add in everybody with that. You know, Isaiah played a little bit of inside nickel for us. He was able to move some things up along with Debo and Foyer inside. And then whoever just played for us, Michael Walker was able to go out there and do some really good things for us. And you can't say enough about the four-man rush coming alive today with Tui going out there really, really stepping up big.
Four-man rush was big. Only three sacks of Derek Carr, but they got to him in terms of laying hands on him. It felt like every single play. The offense wasn't bad. They marched the football multiple times on long 7.5-minute drives, 11 plays, 12 plays, 13 plays, but a lot of them ended up in field goals. And so on a day, if the Raider offense would have been a little bit better, you might want to kind of highlight the fact that you don't want to be kicking five Younghoe field goals. You'd rather get some touchdowns. And Matt Ryan spoke to this, just saying, hey, defense bailed us out a little bit, made our job easy today.
It was tough sledding for us at different points throughout the game offensively, but our defense just shut. I mean, they just took over the game and completely dominated the game. So there's some things we can do better as an offense of being more opportunistic with some short fields. But again, when your defense plays like that, I guess your role is to not screw it up.
It's going to be an interesting matchup next week as they, of course, will host the New Orleans Saints, who are now 9-2 as they beat the quarterbackless Denver Broncos 31-3 today. They had an absolutely awesome day on the ground overall to the Saints from a running back perspective as both Murray and Kamara combined for over 200 yards. But Taysom Hill continues to kind of be, and to me, a real head-scratcher. 9-for-16, 78 yards, and a pick. This does not feel like a quarterback playing quarterback. It feels like a wide receiver playing quarterback. Now, he's more competent, I should say, as a quarterback than, say, the Denver guy, who was a practice squad wide receiver, brought in kind of an emergency situation. Can't really blame him for his poor performance today. But I think this is a Saints team that is very vulnerable if you can somehow stop the run. Still a big if. Me saying it is a lot easier than actually go out and doing it. But I think the Saints are going to have their hands full next Sunday, of course, at 1 against the Atlanta Falcons. And Matt Ryan had said something interesting in the postgame today about how the Saints gave them similar looks to what the Raiders gave them today. And maybe you kind of bring that over to whatever happens in the game next week.
Some of that tight man pressure looks that we were getting the week before, we handled a little bit better today. We can still be better in that department, in my opinion. And that's something we got to work on in practice this week.
And the expectation is for Julio Jones to be back. Not sure exactly what's going to happen with Todd Gurley next week. I'm honestly curious to see how the team would run the football without Todd Gurley for 2 weeks in a row, as they, of course, did not have him today. And so they split. Ito Smith, 12 carries. Brian Hill, 13 carries. Ito, 12 for 65. Brian Hill, 13 for 55. I mean, a little more explosive running back style than, of course, the Todd Gurley, who used to have explosion, is now a little bit more of a beater in terms of wanting to get a little bit more physical with contact. I think the Ito Smith-Brian Hill combination, to me, would be an interesting one to bring into the Saints game, because you do need to establish the run against a football team that is very, very good against the pass and very, very good rushing the passer. I mean, what, 8 sacks of Matt Ryan just last week? So that'll be an interesting matchup overall. And, of course, plenty of preview will happen all week long, as it was hate week last week, and now it's hate week this week, as the Saints will be coming to town. And you can really, if anything, play spoiler, Dylan. Like, I mean, right now in the NFC, we'll talk about this in our final segment coming up in about 6 minutes. The NFC playoff picture is loaded, jam-packed, and extremely interesting. And they're all battling for that one playoff spot. And if you can somehow get the Saints away from the dome and get Drew Brees out and about in the cold weather, that's kind of the hope that a lot of teams have. And so the Falcons can do their part to hopefully hurt the Saints and their chances coming up a week from today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would love nothing more than to play spoiler for the Saints. I would love nothing more than to give them that loss that puts them out of reach of that first round bye. So, yeah, I mean, that alone should motivate you. I mean, it's the Saints. It's your rival. Yeah. That'll get you up enough for this game. But also, too, I mean, you got to look at it. They, like you said, you touched on it earlier, the Falcons got help today, and you can make a run at this. Also, too, we have to remember that the NFL is probably going to end up adding another playoff thing with all the COVID stuff going on, you know, so that could be in the mix as well. So you can make a serious run at it if you win this game, but you got to win, and you got to focus on winning the Saints game, most importantly.
There's a reason why the Falcons are not tanking. It's very clear, and that is that they still believe they are live in the postseason push, even if all of us kind of agree that it's not a real possibility. Like Dylan said, mathematically still alive, and we'll keep saying that until they are mathematically no longer alive, which could happen next week with the loss to the New Orleans Saints. All right, one final break. We'll come back, give you guys some highlights and updates from the late games happening right now. A lot of good ones. The Chiefs are trying to hold on as Brady is driving down 10. We'll give you more updates on that coming up in about 6 minutes as the Falcon Flyover rolls into its final segment coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now more of the Falcons Flyover.
A complete recap of today's game.
With Thomas Mott. Our Falcons play here.
The Falcons Flyover is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wrapping things up here on the Falcons Flyover. Thomas Mott, Dylan Matthews hanging out with you guys for another 7.5 minutes. Then we hand you off to the Westwood One Radio Network. And of course, NFL Sunday, followed by Sunday Night Football, the great rivalry in the NFC. Bears at Packers. That kickoff will be at 8:15. You'll hear the call here at 92.9. As you heard the Matt Holmes Sports Flash, we are keeping an eye on the Chiefs and Bucks game right now. It's a 3-point ball game, 27-24. 3:15 to go in this football game. The Bucks need a stop to get the ball back. The problem is the Chiefs have another first down. The Bucks are out of timeouts. There's 2:40 to go. Most likely we'll be able to update you when that one goes final here in the next couple of minutes. Let's take a look at the other scores around the National Football League as our look around the shield here from earlier today. The Browns went down to Jacksonville, and the 1-10 Jags lose their 10th in a row but put up a fight. The Browns win 27-25. Baker Mayfield, 2 picks in this football game. Not his best overall day, but didn't matter. Nick Chubb, 19 carries, 144, and a touchdown. The Browns are 8-3, the best season they have had, arguably, in my lifetime, 24 years on this earth. The Dolphins stuck with Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback, and they go to 7-4 and squeak into the wild card race right now. In the AFC, they beat the Jets 20-3 up there in New York. The Jets go to 0-11, and Trevor Lawrence continues to loom as the number one overall pick. Arizona upset on the road in Foxborough today. Cam Newton had 0.46 fantasy points on your fantasy team, and yet the Patriots win this one with the help of some special teams and some Kyler Murray turnovers. The Patriots hit a 35-yard field goal by Nick Folk to go ahead and win the football game 20-17. Matt mentioned this in a sports flash, but Carolina loses at the end again as they had a 50-yard field goal to go ahead and beat the Vikings. And it was wide right. So 27-28 is the final score there. Carolina 4th in the NFC South. They are 4-8. Minnesota 5-6 as they try to be the 7th seed right now in the NFC. They're going to need some help and a lot of wins to go ahead and do so. The big thrashing of the day that wasn't the Falcon game comes via Tennessee as Derrick Henry has a buck 78 on the ground, three first half touchdowns as the Titans roll the Colt defense, one of the top five defenses in the NFL, 45-26. Tennessee takes full sole possession of the AFC South. They currently sit at 8-3 and are looking at right now at trying to go ahead and secure at least a 2 or 3 seed. The Giants take over the NFC East lead, at least for a day, as they beat the Bengals. Daniel Jones injured in this one with a hamstring injury. Colt McCoy, former national championship player, as they say, down with Texas, took over and barely hung on to win 19-17. The Giants will have sole possession of first place in the NFC East if Philadelphia loses to the Seattle Seahawks tomorrow night on Monday Night Football. Chargers late comeback. Well, it's just a little bit too late as they fall to Buffalo 27-17. They go to 3-8 on the year. You talk about a good 3-8 football team. You'll see them in Atlanta a couple weeks from today as the Falcons will take on the Chargers on the late window 2 weeks from now. Buffalo goes to 8-3, one of many AFC teams currently battling for the 2 seed as Pittsburgh has the 1 seed all but locked up at 10-0. Again, we go to the late games right now. The Saints absolutely rolled the Broncos today. No quarterback for Denver as they went with a practice squad wide receiver. 1 for 13 was the practice squad wide receiver. Can you blame him, though? Hasn't thrown a pass since college back in 2016, I think, was whenever the Bronco receiver was playing quarterback. Saints defense rolls. They win 31-3. They'll come to Atlanta next week as they currently sit at 9-2. The Niners needed a win today. They got Richard Sherman back, Raheem Mostert back, Deebo Samuel back, and it made a big difference. They hit a 43-yard field goal at the buzzer to win. They beat the Rams 23-20. They go to 5-6. LA down to 7-4. The Rams, of course, trying to keep pace right now in the NFC West, which will be retaken over by the Seattle Seahawks if Seattle goes ahead and beats Philadelphia on the road for Monday Night Football tomorrow night, which you will hear via the Westwood One coverage on at 92.9 pregame at 7:30. The kick will be at 8:15. The final live game right now, the only live game happening, is the Chiefs and Bucks, the late game right now on CBS. They just had the 2-minute warning. It's 3rd-and-7, clock running, buck 40 to go right now. Kansas City up 27-24. A first down here would end the game. If they are unable to, they will punt the ball back to Tampa Bay with about 40 seconds left and Brady and the Bucks needing 3 to go ahead and tie it. Looks like we will not be able to know the result by the end of this show unless they get a first down right now. But, of course, the NFL Sunday coming up here in about 8 minutes will go ahead and give you the results of that one. Again, finally here from Atlanta, 43-6. The final score is the Falcons have their best win of the year, and they get a little momentum going into this Saints game as all they got to do is do what they did today, create some turnovers, and maybe get Taysom Hill to be benched. If Taysom Hill is a bad enough game, you might see Jameis Winston next week as Hill was bad today, and the Falcons can at least play spoilers with a win next week to kind of ruin the Saints' chances at the number one overall seed. It is official in Kansas City, in Tampa Bay. The Chiefs convert on their 3rd-down conversion. They will now take 2 knees and end the football game. Brady's 10-point deficit will come up a little bit short as the head-to-head series between Brady and Patrick Mahomes will go to 2-2. The Bucks will fall now to 7-5. Kansas City, 10-1 now on the year. Their 1 loss coming to the Las Vegas Raiders. Dylan, we put a bow on the Falcons' win today. You said at the very beginning of the show, a little torn back and forth. Stinks that it took so long to see a total dominant win, but at least we saw a total dominant win.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely happy with the win. You never can complain about a win. So we're still alive mathematically. Hopefully we can string the rest of these wins together and hopefully make a playoff push. Otherwise, we'll see what this new regime does and how they'll go about draft-wise, because if we don't make the playoffs and finish like – 7-9, yeah. 6-10, something like that. We'll have a mid-tier first-round pick. We'll see. Maybe we go running back. We'll probably go pass rusher, if we go that. But it's a little too early to talk about that. We'll see what goes on next week in Hate Week Part 2 of the season.
Of course, Hate Week Part 2 will start with all of our shows, the Wait For Tailgate Show at 9 a.m. on Sunday with Willie P. And Hugh Douglas. And then, of course, pregame, Harry Douglas, Chris Goforth. And then, of course, myself and Dylan Matthews this time next week. Of course, the 1 p.m. kickoff, Saints and Falcons. You'll hear it here on 92.9. For Dylan Matthews, I'm Thomas Mott. We sign off another Falcons flyover. Here comes the Westwood One Network and the NFL Sunday, followed by Sunday Night Football. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here. Only
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.